Got to say, it's good to hear everybody singing here this morning. I know we've been down a little bit the last couple of weeks. Glad to see the choir filling back out again this morning as well. And thank y'all for leading us in worship the way y'all did this morning. If you have your Bibles today, if you would turn to Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be concluding our series on prayers. We've been adding a few things that to your prayer list for this year. And so today we want to look at the book of Philippians, as we add a final thing. It's not in any way an exhaustive list of what you should be praying for throughout this year, but it's some things that maybe we don't think of as much, or things that we should be praying for every day that we do not. So we want to look at the book of Philippians, where Paul prays there for the church at Philippi, that they would know what is best, and that they would be able to discern it. And isn't that something that we all want? To have discernment, to know what is best for our life. And as I shared with the children this morning, the thing is, God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and it is what is best for us. But so many times in our own life, we try to seek and we want to do what we want or what we think is best, but that is not always what God has planned for us. It is not always what is best for us. And so we often are faced with decisions, numerous decisions in our lives that we have to make, and sometimes they are far bigger decisions than the others. And I can tell you from my own experience, I have followed my own desire and my own will far too many times, and it has ended in disaster every single time. But when we know what God has in store for us, when we know God's will for our life, then everything always works out better. Not just in that place and that decision you're making, but in your marriage, in your workplace. It all goes hand in hand. And so today, we want to look at how can we have discernment? Where does it begin? And how can we figure out what is best? And that is basically the essence of Paul's prayer that we're going to be looking at today. Paul writes this letter while he is in prison in Rome, and he really doesn't know what tomorrow holds. He doesn't know if he's going to be executed the next day. He doesn't know if, as he's writing this letter, if this could be his last words that he's writing out, the last time he's going to communicate with anyone, or even if he might even be able to finish this letter because if the guards could come and execute him. And so he's writing to the church in Philippi, and understand, this is a church that he holds dear. It's a very different type of letter than he writes to many of the other churches, because in many of them, he's trying to solve these problems. And he's sometimes very harsh with them. You look to the church at Corinth and the letters. We've studied that on Sunday nights this past year. And you can look and see the letter he writes to the Corinthians is very different than the letter he writes here to the church in Philippi. Because this is what I like to call his sweetheart church. Yes, they've got their problems, but they are a very good church. And we can even see how much he cares about this church, because before the passage we're going to look at in verse 3, he begins to say, "Every time I think of you, I thank God for you." Just think of someone like that, a relationship you might have, that every time you think of them, you just want to thank God that they are in your life. That is the relationship Paul has here with the church at Philippi. This is his sweetheart church. He loves them deeply. And so he's writing this letter to them, and he knows that this could be the last time that he communicates with them. And so what do you say in that instance? It might be the last time you get to talk to somebody that you love deeply. And so what are you going to say? You're going to say, you know, I love you. You're going to share something that is really important, the most important thing. And so that's what we would expect here of Paul as he's writing to the church at Philippi, because he knows this could be the last time that he prays for them, that he talks for them. And what we find here beginning in verse 9 is his prayer then for the church at Philippi. He says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." So notice that this prayer follows the same format as all the other prayers of Paul that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Paul begins by praying that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and discernment. And then he says, and here's why I'm praying this. So that they will know. So that you will know what is best. So as we began to think about what is best in my life, what is best for this church, Big Spring Baptist Church, what is best for us? How can we understand that? Well, first thing I want you to understand is this. Discernment begins with love. Because as we start to break down Paul's prayer here, the first thing that jumps out to me is that Paul prays that their love would abound more and more. And so we have to ask, what type of love is Paul talking about here? Because if we look around in our culture, there are a lot of different types of love. We talk about loving many things. We love our mom. We love our parents. We love our spouse. We love our jobs. We love our Krispy Kreme donuts. So what type of love then is Paul talking about? The love that Paul is talking about here is far different than the love that we often think about. Because when we often say, I love something, the reason why we love is because we're getting what we want in return. And if we stop getting what we want in return, then we no longer love. We can see that in marriages oftentimes. People will wake up one morning and say, I love you, but then just a little later, that love is gone. Why? Because they're saying, I'm not getting what I want, so I don't love you anymore. But that's not the love that Paul is talking about here. This love is an unconditional love. It is far different than the love we see and often experience here on this earth. It's a love that comes from the heart of God, and it doesn't just give us what we think we need. It gives us exactly what we need. And there's a big difference in that, because we often think we need something different than what we actually need. And Paul says here, I want this type of love to abound more and more in your life. And he says also, both in knowledge and discernment. This phrase that Paul uses here is saying that you are going to experience this love. I want you to experience this love, and when you experience it, it is going to transform your life from the inside out. He says you can't just have this love and not be different. When you've experienced this, it's going to change you completely. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the things you say. It's going to change the way you act. And you know, we have experiences in our life where something might happen and it completely changes you. For one, becoming a parent. I can tell you, once I became a parent, my life completely changed. Because there were things that I used to want to do or used to do all the time that I love to do that I just can't do anymore. Because my life is now focused on my children. When you fall in love, and when you find that person, and by love, I'm not just talking about the fluttery feeling in your stomach, but when you find that person who you know God has chosen for you to spend the rest of your life with, when you finally truly experience that love, your life is forever different. It's forever changed. And that is what Paul is talking about here. He says, when you experience this love that can only come from God, it's not just going to be a love that you get, but it's also going to come with knowledge. It's going to come with discernment. And your life is going to be completely changed. It's going to transform the way you act. It's going to transform what you think. It's going to transform the things that you do. And we can only have this love because we have experienced it from God Himself. This love comes from the heart of God. And you know, God expresses this love in so many different ways. But one of the ways that He does it is through another follower of Jesus. You know, people can go around you and speak love and truth into your life and share this kind of love into your life. Because you know, have you ever had a time where someone came to you out of love and addressed something in your life where you weren't doing the right thing or the smart thing? Maybe it had something to do with work habits. Maybe it was in parenting or the way you treated your spouse. Maybe it was in how you talked or in something you were doing. And they came to you in love and they addressed it. They told you what you needed to hear, not what you wanted to hear. And you began to experience through a tough conversation from a fellow follower of Christ, you began to experience God's love, His unconditional love, that He wants what is best for you. And because you experienced that love, you began to change. Why does that change happen in your life? It's because with that love came knowledge and discernment, that it transforms the way you think. Now, I've got a silly example of this, but just stick with me through it, okay? I want to show you a logo here. You've all probably seen this logo before, right? Maybe on a truck, maybe on a building as you're driving down to Chattanooga, maybe on a box that arrived at your front door. We know this as the FedEx logo, right? We all know this. Let me just mess with your mind just a little bit. There's actually a hidden message in this logo. See the next slide here. You see it? There's an arrow there. An arrow between the E and the X. And this is there, and sometimes we will look at that, and we won't see that arrow. But I want to show you something that's just going to blow your mind just a little bit. Let's see the next one. Okay, the arrow's not hidden in there anymore. But what? Every time you look at that logo, what's going to happen? You're going to see that arrow, right? Because you have that knowledge now. I've shared that little bit of information with you. So every time you look at this logo, you are going to see that arrow if you didn't see it before. And that's really what Paul is talking about here. And I know that's just a silly illustration, but that's what he's saying. He's saying when you experience God's love, and you have God's love in your life, and now it's not just something you're experiencing, but it's also something that you're living. You're acting it out. You're showing that same love to everyone else. And now he's saying, when you experience God's love and you have God's love in your life, you are not going to see things the same way. Just like now that I've shown you that arrow, you're not going to see that logo the same way anymore. It has forever been burned in your mind. You are going to see that arrow because I did the same thing. Now every time I see it, my eyes go straight to the arrow. I don't see FedEx anymore. I see an arrow. And that's how it is with God's love. You're not going to see the things the same way anymore. All of a sudden, guess what? You're going to begin to see God's word different. All of a sudden, when you experience hardship and challenges in your life and trials in your life, it's going to change the way you see those things. Where everybody else looks at what you're going through and what you're experiencing, and they look at that situation and they see desperation. When they look at that situation and they see no hope, when you look at it, you see God at work. You see God doing something different. Why? Because the love of God has began to abound more and more inside of you, both in knowledge and discernment, so that you will be able to know what is best. So see, if we want to know what is best in our lives, if we want to know what is best for our church, we have to begin to let the love of God transform us from the inside out. And when we do that, it is going to change the way we do things. And so if you're here today and you're asking what is best for your life, you've got situations that you are facing. You're facing all sorts of crazy things and you just want to know what is best. Then here is how you can know. Because the key to knowing what is best is knowing God. It's that simple and that complicated. The key to knowing best is knowing God. So the next logical question then is, how can I know God? And if you're here this morning, whether you've been here for 50 years or whether it's your first time ever walking into this church, that's why we're all here. We want to know God better. We want to grow closer to God. We want to hear from God. And so what I want to do with the remainder of the time this morning is I want to give you three things that help us hear God and know what is best. Because when I'm facing tough decisions
in my life and I really want to hear from God, there's a few things that I do. And the first thing is we must seek godly counsel. You know, when I'm facing a decision, I'll begin to ask people around me, people who I trust, people who I believe in, people who I know are following Christ with everything in them. And they don't have to be experienced in the situation that I'm facing. Maybe they've been in a similar situation that I'm experiencing. Maybe they haven't. Maybe it's just that they're further down the road of life than me, and I want to just glean some wisdom from them. And this is actually a biblical principle. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." You know, there's a lot of wisdom there in that statement there. You want to know what is best? We begin by seeking godly counsel around us, and we will begin to see that God begins to speak through the wisdom of leaders, through people that God has placed within our sphere of influence, godly leaders who we trust. Because here's what happens. God will begin to speak through these individuals, and you'll notice that a voice begins to emerge. And so when I find myself in this situation where I need to know what is best, I begin by seeking godly counsel. But let me warn you, when you do this, find people who are living godly lives. Find Christians who are seeking God in their own life and who you know have devoted themselves to following Him. Because often what we will do is we will go try to find people who will give the answer we are looking for. But remember, we're not going to hear from ourselves. We are going to hear from God. And so that might mean we hear things we don't want to hear, but we must go and seek godly counsel. But a second thing that we should do is we should pray. And you know, often when we think of prayer, we think prayer is just talking to God. We talk to God, we praise Him, we worship Him, we thank Him for who He is and all that He is, and we pray. But that's not all that prayer is. Because what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation. And what happens in a conversation? Usually two people talk. I know there are certain conversations you might feel you can't get a word in, but generally a conversation is between two people. And so part of prayer is also listening. But I think that is something we so often miss. But just imagine if we treated every single conversation like we often treat prayer. Men in the room, what if you come home from work one day and your wife asks you, "How's your day?" And so you do like you always do, very briefly and just with minor details, you say, "Good, good." And then you ask, "And how was your day?" But then you walk out of the room, right as soon as you ask it, what's going to happen? Your night's not going to be very good, let's just say that. Why? Because you asked a question and you left. You weren't there to listen. And so many times that's what we do with prayer. We pray to God, we talk to God, we ask God, and then we walk out of the room. And we're done. We end the conversation. And we don't allow time for us to listen to what God has said. And so we know that part of prayer is that we should listen. And so when we pray, "God, what should I do? Where are you leading us as a church?" We've got to be prepared not just to pray and to ask God, but we must be prepared to stop and listen, to maybe sit in silence. I've preached a sermon before on the joy of silence, because it's not something we often like. We hate silence. But sometimes we must sit and listen to God. And it's not as if God answers in an audible voice, but there's those moments where I've had this internal prompting, and it's like God saying, "You need to do this." It's almost like a voice that comes from the inside that's so loud that you just can't ignore it. And it's just so compelling, and you know that this is where God is leading. So maybe you've felt that before as you've listened to God in prayer. And so you seek godly counsel. You pray and you listen to what He is saying. And the third thing you do is we must look to God's Word. Because it's in these times that I read God's Word and I listen to Him speak to me through it. Because listen to me this morning. God speaks to you through His Word.
This is not just another book. It's not just words on the page. But God speaks to you through His Word. I can't tell you how many times God has spoken to me through His Word. And even when I'm on a reading plan, such as the reading plan that we have provided for you back in the back of the church, last year we began to go through our DNA groups. And yes, it was a scheduled reading plan week after week after week. But it was amazing how so many times my experiences in my life, what I'd be going through, what I'd be facing right then, God would use that word. Even when it was scheduled for me to go through it, God would speak to me out of His Word and speak to the situations that I was facing that week. Because we have a God who is active in our lives. We have a God who cares about us. We have a God who speaks to us. And often He speaks to us through His Word. And so we must listen to God speak through His Word. And we began to hear Him through godly counsel. We hear Him through prayer. And it's amazing while you're reading the Word that it's like He says, here is what I'm trying to tell you. And He speaks to us. And let me tell you, so many times when I've heard God speak and when God has answered my prayers, I'll be honest with you, many times it's been in opposition to what the world would say is logical. And so many times God answers our prayers and we're like, God, is that really the best answer? Is that really what is best for me? That just doesn't make sense. And we find ourselves doing the same thing that the children of Israel do in the book of Numbers. Because Moses there has already led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They had been in slavery there in Egypt. They were in bondage. And while in Egypt, they cried out to God. And they cried out that God would release them and deliver them. And God heard their cry. And He sent Moses in. And He sent Moses to deliver them. And Moses goes to Pharaoh. And he says, let my people go. But Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to. He didn't want to lose all that labor. And so God brings plague after plague after plague upon Egypt. Until finally Pharaoh relinquishes and he says, I want you to get out of here. I want you to leave. I don't want to see y'all around here anymore. And we find the children of Israel go, and there God parts the Red Sea. And they go out into the desert. And while traveling through the desert, God day after day provides everything they need. Their clothing never wore out. He provides the food that they need. And He provides it through something called manna. And every morning they would go out and there would be manna on the ground and they would pick it up and grind it up and make sweet cakes out of it and eat it. But a problem arose. They grew tired of that manna day after day after day. They had ate it over and over again and they grew tired of it. So the Israelites did what they were really good at. They began to grumble. They forgot the fact of all that God had done for them. They forgot the fact that God delivered them from slavery. Now they're just like, I'm upset. I'm tired of eating manna every single day. And they began to grumble. And so in Numbers 11, verses 5 through 6, we see this. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. And I read that, I'm like, really? Really? You say that fish that you ate there is free? Don't you remember you were slaves? You remember all that labor you had to do? You remember that just the all you had to experience, the torture you had experienced, and it was free? Huh? Really? But then it gets ridiculous because they're like, oh, and don't you remember those melons? Oh, don't you remember those onions and that garlic? Oh, it was just all so good. We got this manna. I'm tired of it. I want what we had in Egypt. I want that good food we had in Egypt. And so they began to complain. They weren't enjoying what God was providing for them. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting there thinking, you've been delivered from bondage. You've been delivered from slavery, and you're worried about leeks and onions and garlic. Really? What's going on in your life? I'm just like, you're crazy. But don't we do the same thing? God, please just tell me what is best in this situation. And God does something powerful, and you're like, I don't even like that anymore. And now I'm just going to start complaining about everything you're doing in my life, God. I'll be honest, I found myself in the same place that the Israelites are in here. But then Moses hears about all this complaining, and he gets angry, and he begins to have a conversation with God, because moving on in the chapter to verse 12, it says, did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to carry all this people alone, and the burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I ever find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. You know, we read this, and it seems as if Moses is complaining, that he's arguing with God. But you want to know what Moses is really doing here? He's praying. He's praying. But we often don't see it that way, because this is foreign to the way we think of praying. It's not our typical prayer here, but Moses is praying here. He's talking to God, and he's being real. He's saying, I'm tired of all these people, God. They want their leeks, they want their garlic, they want all that. And he says, where am I going to find this meat that they're crying out for? Well, how am I going to be able to provide that for them, God? I just don't understand. He says, you know what? Just kill me. I'm tired of dealing with all these people then. And Moses here, he's at a point where he is being honest with God. He's being broken before God. And many times, I believe that it would do us good if we would be real before God. If we would just be honest with who we are. And we would go to God understanding. He already knows everything that is going on in our lives. Knowing that he already knows everything that is going on in our church. And if we would just be honest and real before God, instead of trying to hide it, instead of trying to make our prayer sound all spiritual and make us sound good, because let's just be real and honest before God. Let us just open our hearts and cry out to a holy God, to a powerful God, and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I don't know how to handle this, but God, I just need you. Sometimes it would help us if we would be real and honest before God. And Moses here, he's praying to God, but he's not praying a prayer that we would think of. You know, I think often we'd be like, well, Moses should pray something like this. Oh, sovereign Lord, omnipotent Father, your servant Moses bows before you and knows the trials of his people. That's often how we think we should pray. That's not what Moses does. He is honest and real with God, because he knows God already knows what he's thinking. So Moses expresses himself to God in prayer. But then check out what happens later in the chapter. Moses begins to listen to God. As you move to verse 16, God says to him, then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And so God there tells Moses, he says, I'm going to distribute the burden of leadership that you have. He says, you're going to go and find these 70 men, and they're going to stand with you, and they're going to help you deal with all the issues you have to deal with. They're going to help you in your leadership. But then he goes on to say in the chapter, God says, I'm going to provide meat as well. I'm going to provide meat for the Israelites. He says, I'm going to provide meat not for a day. I'm not going to provide meat for a week, but I'm going to provide meat for them for an entire month. He says, I'm going to provide so much meat for the children of Israel that they won't even ever think of meat again. Because he says, I'm going to provide so much meat for them that they are going to loathe it. He says, I'm going to provide so much meat for them, because that's what they want, that every time they even think of meat, it's going to make them sick. You ever had that point? You've had something over and over again that just the thought of it makes your stomach hurt. That's what he says he's going to do here. They've been complaining. And so Moses there, he's like, okay, God, I hear you. But he says, what am I going to do? How am I going to do that? I have 600,000 men down here. Even if I killed all the animals that we have, it's not going to be enough to feed everybody. Even if I caught every fish in the sea, it's still not going to be enough to feed everybody. God, I heard you say that we're going to provide meat. How am I going to do that? But then notice God's response in verse 23. And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. Often we're just like Moses. We seek to find out what is best, and then God answers, and we're like, God, are you crazy? That's not the right choice. That's not the right decision. God, that is not what is best for me. That is just crazy. You're going to provide meat for everybody? That can't happen. There's not enough meat here. I don't care if you've been providing manna from heaven and it's been there. You can't provide enough meat. And we respond that way to God's answer, though, because we really aren't looking for what is best. Instead, we're really looking for what is easiest and what we want, what makes us feel good. But here's what happens. As God's love abounds more and more in us, we are transformed. So the key to knowing what is best is knowing God. And so we should seek Him in godly counsel. We should pray and listen to Him. And we should look to His Word. And we should let Him transform our lives and let Him do amazing things in and through us. And so, as Paul prayed for the people that he loved in Philippi, I pray for us all here today. I pray for you as an individual. I pray for us as a church. You've heard me speak a lot about this. And we've had the plans in place for a while, but today is going to be the first meeting of our vision team. Do you want to know what our purpose in that vision team is? To know what is best. To hear from God on what we should be doing. Who we should be reaching as a church. It shouldn't just be the prayer of the vision team, though. That should be the prayer of everybody in here. It should be the prayer of everybody who is a part of our church. That's where we are. That's what we're doing. We're praying for discernment. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you have a decision that you are facing right now. And you need to know what is best in that decision. So maybe today you come and you begin seeking God. You pray and you listen to Him. You begin searching His Word. You begin seeking godly counsel from the followers of Christ that He has placed around you. Maybe you're here and you've been doing life. And you thought you've known what was best in your own life. You thought that what was best for you was climbing the corporate ladder. You thought that what was best for you was making a certain amount of money so that you could provide everything that your family would need. That you thought what was best for you was just finding acceptance with this group of people no matter what you had to sacrifice, no matter what you had to do. Because none of that matters as long as you find acceptance. Because you think that that is what is best. But let me tell you this morning, all of that is false. Because every single one of those crumble around us. They are not really what is best. Because what is best is knowing God. And we can know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Whom the Bible says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us not what we think we want. He gave us exactly what we needed. And what we need is forgiveness of sin. Because the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it is the sin in our life. It is our sin that separates us from God. But God so loved us that He gave and His only Son. He sent Him to die on the cross. And for all who believe on Jesus and all who call on His name, they will be transformed and made new. All the old is gone and the new has come. And you will be able to discern what is best. You will be able to have purpose in your life.
And most importantly, you will be forgiven of your sins and transformed and made new in Christ when you call on his name. And so maybe here in just a moment, as we have a moment of response, maybe you come and you cry out to God, God, what is best? Maybe you come as we begin this process with our vision team. And maybe you come to here this morning and you cry out to God. And you say, God, we need to hear from you. We here at Big Spring Baptist Church need to hear what you have to say to us. We need to hear the direction we need to move in. We need to hear what we are supposed to be doing. We need to hear who are we to be reaching out to. God, we need to hear from you. Or maybe today you need to come because you've been searching for what is best your entire life and you haven't yet found it. Maybe today God has begun to show you that it is found in him and his Son, Jesus Christ. And that you will come today and call out upon his name and receive forgiveness of sins. I'll be here. There'll be other men down here this morning. If that is your desire, just come and we will help you. We will talk with you and show you what Scripture says. Let us pray. Father, we know that the life that we live here is full of decision after decision after decision. We are often struggling to know what is best. What should we do? Sometimes on minor decisions, sometimes on big decisions. But we also know that it doesn't just exist on an individual level, but also on the corporate level. It exists with us here together as a church. And so, Father, here this morning I pray. I pray that your love would abound more and more in us. That, Father, we would know the love that you have for us. Father, that we would experience your love. Father, that it's not just so that we can feel accepted, not just so that we can feel love, not so that we can just know that we have a Father in heaven, we have others around us, but, Father, so that that knowledge and discernment can come with it. Father, that as we face these decisions in our life, that we would just seek you. That we would be living out that transformed new life, no longer just following after our own desires, no longer following after what we want, what is easy, what makes us feel good, but follow that we would be seeking you and your will, seeking your kingdom in all that we do. So, Father, if there are some here this morning that are searching for that, that they've been longing to know what is best, Father, I pray today that they would call out to you and that you would guide them in the direction that you want to lead them. Father, if there's one here who doesn't know you, Father, I pray that today could be their day of salvation. I pray that today they would recognize the sin in their life and the separation that that has caused from you. And that today they would call out to you, believing who Jesus is, trusting in him, believing that you raised him from the dead, so that they can experience forgiveness of sins here this morning. Father, I pray for us as a church as well. I pray that you would lead us. I pray that you would guide us. I pray that you would give us the discernment that we need as we begin to seek out who are we and what is our purpose. Why are we here and what do you have in store for us? Father, we need to hear from you. And I'm so thankful that you are a God who speaks to us. You don't leave us wandering around to find our own way, but you have a purpose and a plan, and a meaning for each and every single one of us. So, Father, I pray that we would be living that out here this morning. We pray for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.